Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Travel's great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com or call 877-290-1880. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel. It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal? A pile of Monopoly money from the banker. Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Elena.
I'm Ash.
And this is Morbid.
Morbid, 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 morbid.
I bet you guys loved that. So,
listen, I bet you did, okay?
We are here. It's a Listener Tales episode.
Brought to you, by you, for you, from you, and all about you.
Every Friday, Listener Tales.
Forever
and always.
That's actually funny because I have that ghost song stuck in my head. That's like,
forever. Love that for you.
Thanks.
I do that to you, and I love that I do that to you.
I was going
to
say, it's like because of you. It's brought to me by you.
Yes.
Yeah. Hold on.
And we're back. Ash just swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed that fly.
No, I would never swallow.
I guess she'll die.
Why?
Do you remember that? When you were little, that song?
No, you have asked me that before, too, and the answer remains nor.
There's that weird ass, I think it's a book, too. I remember hearing it like a spoken word poem kind of thing. Like it was like
very like hacky.
There was an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed that fly. I guess she'll die. And it was like, whoa. Huh. All right. That escalated real fast.
It was probably in one of your weird books.
Like I think we learned it in like music class in school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you have to do the recorder?
Hell yeah, we had to do the recorder. Yeah.
Why is that curriculum?
Because it's an instrument that anyone can play.
But like not anymore. If you handed me a recorder, I'd be like,
I wouldn't know how to do that. But remember the recorders?
Yeah, we used to have to go into the basement at my elementary school, and we all used to talk about how like Bloody Mary lived down there.
Wow, that's spooky that you went in the basement to do your recorders.
It was creepy.
Oh.
And one time, somebody like broke into that basement.
What?
Not while we were there. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was like a sad situation though. It was like somebody like without a home who like needed shelter. So
that's really scary though. It's an elementary school.
Yeah. Like don't do that.
Yeah. That's like a little scary for the kids.
But back to the listener tales.
All right. Here we are. Today's, weird detour, but here we are. We're back. And today's listener tale is going to be Themy McThemersoned.
Woohoo!
For Australia and New Zealand.
Two different places.
Two beautiful places with beautiful people. We love you.
We do.
You know?
We just do.
You guys have been great. We love you. You're beautiful. Your accents are chef's kiss.
I want to go to there.
I want to go to there.
You know that TikTok sound?
So let's go.
All right. Well, my first listener tale is for me, very much so. Yeet or be yeeted. Or 10 out of 10 would not recommend getting stabbed.
Whoa.
You know.
All right.
Hello, Deb Deb, Ash, and Elena. Just realized that I sent this email without attaching the putifa. PTSD brain. I'm sorry. This is a resubmission, so please deleteth the old one entitled What We Don't Care About.
We don't need that one.
We don't need her. Thank you for all your hard work. You're the best. And I'm not going to say the name just in case because I don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't think you can say this name. And even the nickname is a little close to the name, so I would come up with a totally different one.
Okay,
just to protect. We're trying to protect you.
Yeah, okay. Hi, or should I say good day, Ash and Elena?
You should say good day.
You should absolutely say good day. My name is... Oh, I'm going to come up with something like fun.
Yeah, you got to give a fun nickname. I just don't want it in any way being...
Stewie.
There you go.
I was looking at our picture of Billy Loomis, and I wanted to combine Stew and Billy. So you there are you now go. Stewie.
Like it.
Stewie is 22 and is from Australia. We're not saying their name in the story because legal things. This putifa is size 14 font and double spaced for your viewing pleasure. You're welcome.
Thank you.
This is a resubmission as I reread my old one, and the number of mistakes, my God, you'd think I'm illiterate.
Have you heard me read on this show?
This reads for about 15 minutes, but I'm a fast talker. Same. So here comes the gushing about how much I love you guys. hello. I love you both so much. I have permanently been playing you in my car, headphones, and speakers.
I love you.
I've been listening to you guys since early 2019, and I consider you both like my older adopted American sisters. And I especially feel that as Bostonians, you relate to Aussies on a level that no American can.
Oh, I love that.
Hell yeah. And they said, I'm speaking about your accents here. Ash, I relate to your attachment to phrases like yeet and I oop on a spiritual level as evidenced by the title of this listener tale. And Elena, I swear to God our exes are somehow related.
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Both fuckheaded pricks with tiny peepees and loads of audacity. Thank the Lordy Lord that I have found my version of your John.
Hell yeah.
Who has been through the worst with me, as you will read in this listener tale.
Oh, I love that.
I'm happy that you're happy, but I'm sorry that you had to go through the worst with your John.
I'm glad you found a new John.
Yeah, everybody should go find a new John.
Yeah, always.
Unless your John's not broken. If your John's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, don't leave a broke, whatever it is.
A perfectly good John. There you go.
There you go.
So for the longest time, I was really bummed that I didn't have a listener tale to share. It always starts like that.
Uh-oh.
But that all changed on August 17th, 2021.
Oh, this was recent.
It was. And now I wish that I never had a listener tale to share with you ladies. But here we are.
Oh, man.
This is a long one. I'm sorry. I would tell you to cut it down, but I don't want you to yell at me.
We won't.
I also changed most of the names in this story for privacy and legal reasons. All right, my fantastically morbid friends, buckle yourselves in because the ride is about to start.
Ooh, I'm scared. I hate rides.
Oh, I fucking love rides. In fact, I want to go on a ride right now. So
my heart just went into fight or flight mode as soon as she said buckle in, the ride's about to begin. I was like, nope, I'm out.
Ooh, I felt like I was going to go down on a roller coaster. Except I recently, I went on the Rock and Roller Coaster recently at Universal. And let me just tell you, that changes with age. I think I got concussed.
Maybe. Mm, I've never been on any of those because I hate roller coasters.
Oh, I love them, but it's different now.
The aging, you know.
I feel old. Anyways, I've worked on the health field since I was 15, started in a pharmacy, then to a nursing home, but eventually as a support worker. I also studied nursing and then psychology.
Oh, wow.
And I loved it. I felt that I'd found my purpose. Helping people was my passion, and I was good at it.
Damn, good for you, man.
I know, for real. As a support worker, I went to the houses that my company rented and looked after or cared for the tenants and clients that they placed in them. These clients can have physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities, and/or very poor mental health. The client involved in this story has paranoid schizophrenia, borderline personality disorder, self-destructive bipolar disorder, severe anxiety, and major depression, all brought on by trauma to the frontal lobe from childhood abuse and illicit substance abuse.
That's sad.
That's really sad. I will be calling her Jen. I had been caring for Jen since April of 2021, when I first started working for the company. She had been seen fit to enter the community life after having a very long stint at our local hospital's mental health unit, and I was one of a few people responsible for her transition back to quote-unquote normal life. Jen and I hit it off instantly. She was quirky and funny, and I allowed her to be herself without any judgment. I was thrilled with this job. I loved hanging out with Jen, but she liked to keep to herself mostly so I could catch up on my psychology studies whenever she wanted alone time. Jen initially struggled with the transition into living quote-unquote independently. She struggled with having a roommate who also had mental health issues, doing chores, managing money, and struggled with the fact that she couldn't entirely be left alone. It started to become apparent that Jen's moods escalated during the afternoon and evening, and I always had to deal with her episodes of psychosis. Even when another carer was on with her, I was rostered on with Jen's roommate. My coworkers would get me to deal with Jen's meltdowns because I was so used to them. Despite all of this, Jen and I maintained a good relationship, and she often confided in me with things she wouldn't tell anybody else. It got to the point where I was her main afternoon/evening carer and the main point of contact for her health team. Jen also really struggled with addiction, mainly to cigarettes and energy drinks. She was on many medications to help combat these addictions, in particular, nicotine chewing gum. Ugh. The day of the incident was a fucking shit show. I was drowning in study assignments, my shitbox of a car was making a weird noise, so relatable, and my refrigerator had died, so it wasn't running. I had to. I really did not want to work, but I showed up anyways, mainly because I'm a slut for a good paycheck.
Amazing.
When I first turned up, Jen was in a weird mood. My coworker from the morning shift gave me the handover and said that Jen had been moody all day. I was dreading the shift because I knew that Jen was going to be hard to deal with. And shit, was I right. Jen was a handful during that shift, constantly fighting back, breaking house rules, mistaking medication, and provoking her housemate.
Oh, no.
I'm already, like, stressed.
I know.
My coworker, Jamie, that was rostered on with Jen's housemate, was a new hire. She'd only been with the company for about a month, so she'd never seen Jen like this before. It was a fucking nightmare. I was worried about Jamie and how she would handle the situation. I was worried about Jen's housemate, and I was worried there would be another emotional breakdown. I should have just called in sick like I was planning to.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. That night, I was texting my boyfriend and talking to him about the refrigerator that I just bought off Facebook Marketplace to replace my other one for only $70. A fucking amazing steal, if you ask me.
If you ask anyone.
Dude, refrigerators are, like, ridiculously expensive for no reason.
$70.
We all need them.
I know.
Anyways, when Jen came inside after chain smoking around 15 cigarettes, I had to keep count for health records. She was clearly in a bad mood. I feel like my stomach would get so sick from that. She ignored me when I asked how she was and if she wanted dinner. My boyfriend then messaged and asked if he could see the fridge, but I told him, give me a minute, I have to help my client, XX. Jen asked for a piece of nicotine chewing gum. I advised Jen that she wait an hour for the gum as she only just had a cigarette, a rule that she was aware of. Jen became argumentative and started yelling. I tried to distract Jen by asking if she wanted to watch TV or even a horror movie, which she loves, but I fucking hate. I have anxiety, okay? But she refused and went upstairs to her room. Jamie and I shared a look like, for fuck's sake, here we go. Luckily, Jamie's client had gone to her grandma's house for dinner an hour earlier, so Jamie could help me calm down Jen. Usually in situations like this, we waited for Jen to calm herself down to a point where she would listen to us and respond to our help. When in her room, Jen started to slam doors, punch things, and yell and scream, I'm gonna fucking kill you, you need to die. That's like the opposite of calming herself down.
That is true.
Yeah. Jen came back downstairs and she started to yell at me that she wanted gum. Her eyes were so blown out that they were black. Her fists were clenched so hard that I swear she was drawing blood, and she bared her teeth at me like an animal. I stood up from where I was sitting to try to calm Jen down. Bad move on my part. I'm a foot taller than her. Shout out to my tall queens. So she took it as a sign of intimidation. Jen charged at me and grabbed me by my hair and used it as an anchor to start punching me in the face repeatedly.
Oh my God.
That is fighting dirty. Surprisingly, I didn't feel shit. Jen was hella strong and was not going lightly, and yet my solid teeth took each hit without fail.
Oh.
I tried to reason with Jen and ask her to let me go, but she just kept repeating that she wanted me to die, die, bitch, die.
Wow.
Oh, I'm so scared. At this point, I called out to Jamie to call 000. Also, why did you have to do that, Jamie? Just call 000. I was eventually able to get Jen off of me as blood and chunks of my gum started to fill my mouth and my face started to swell. I went to get her chewing gum from the safe where all the medications were kept. Just as I put the key in, I saw that Jen had gone to the kitchen and was looking for a weapon.
Oh, no.
I yelled at Jamie that we needed to get the fuck out of there and that Jen had gotten a weapon. My coworker and I ran to the front door. As I started to turn the handle, I felt Jen come up behind me. I turned around and put my hands up in an attempt to placate Jen, but her hand was a cheap serrated steak knife, a fucking knife. She grabbed me by my left hand and stabbed me twice under my left breast and once under my left nipple.
Oh my God.
At first, I thought she just punched me, but when I lifted my shirt up, I saw my blood. God. She stabbed me so deep each time that her fist had punched my chest. Oh my God.
Wow.
So that means the entire steak knife was literally inside of you.
Oh, this is hurting my chest.
Oh my God. I feel like I need a deep breath.
Oh.
Where's Drew? I need a palate cleanser. Oy. Oh, I let Jamie know that I had been stabbed and she informed the 000 dispatcher. My direct quote was, holy fuck, she fucking stabbed me.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Like, bitch, I am trying to help you beat your addiction and this is how you repay me? By trying to fucking kill me? What the fuck, dude? Not cool.
Not cool indeed.
Amazingly, I didn't feel anything at first other than her fist contacting my chest. But I think that was due to the adrenaline that was pumping through me and the shock of the whole situation. I managed to get Jen out of the house and then locked the door behind her. I started to freak the frick out because what if the police got mad at me for pushing somebody out onto the street with a weapon? Would I be responsible if somebody else got hurt? Jen was under my care after all. Though internally, my mind was diarrhea shitting itself.
Oh my God.
I was at work, so I had to keep some form of level-headedness.
While you just got stabbed.
I know, I was going to say, I love that you like could think to even be level-headed whilst bleeding from multiple stab wounds. My adrenaline was pumping and my mind was racing. I went to call our company's after-hours nurse, but I couldn't find the phone number in the book that the sticky note was always in. Why would someone move it? I then tried to call my boss, but got no response. Wow, this sucks. Then when I put my phone down, it was as if I got hit by a Mack truck. My body just crumpled. I laid on the couch.
Adrenaline crash.
Yeah. I laid on the couch as I became dizzy. My vision went blurry, and then I passed out. When I came to, I was sweating, and I started to strip all my clothes off. I kept saying to Jamie, I can't breathe. Why is it so hot? What did she do to me? Please help me.
Oh, God.
I was going in and out of consciousness as Jamie helped me get my jacket and top off, and I could see that she was sobbing, and she kept telling me to stay with her.
Oh.
I was so confused until I heard her tell the ambulance dispatcher that she thinks Jen stabbed my heart. I kept repeating, no, she didn't. Not my heart. It has to be my lung. I can't breathe.
Oh my God. I'm so stressed for you.
This is so stressful.
I'm so glad that you are writing this because it means you're okay.
I know.
I'm like, oh.
My goodness. The police and paramedics finally arrived after what felt like an eternity, but in reality was 6 minutes from when the 000 call was first placed. They immediately put me in the stretcher and loaded me into the ambulance. And through all of this, all I could hear was Jen outside screaming, die, 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 bitch, fucking die.
Oh my God.
In my delirious state, I kept apologizing to the paramedics and the police for what happened asking them to ring my mom or my boyfriend. Oh. When they said they didn't know their numbers, I asked if they had a pen and paper and then told them my mom's number, all while bleeding out in the back of an ambulance.
Damn, you're a real one.
You truly are. When we presented to the emergency department at the hospital, I was blue. My lips were swollen, bloodied, and purple. My eyes were glassy and rolled back into my head. Because that's the other thing. She also got punched
before in the face.
I just remembered that.
Several times.
I had no peripheral pulses. My blood pressure was 30 over 20.
Wow.
Normal range is 120 over 80. And my oxygen saturation was 30%. Normal range is 90 to 100.
Wow.
They thought I was dead. I was literally medically dead. The only reason they knew I was alive is because they kept saying my name wrong and getting my age wrong, and I was fucking correcting them.
Hell yeah, you were.
Yes, in my half-alive state, I was getting mad that they were saying my name wrong. They told me to wiggle my toes to see if I was still coherent, and I did, like the bad bitch I am.
Hell yeah.
Seriously, when they praised me for it, I was so proud of myself.
You should be.
Yeah, to say the least. Eventually, a warm sensation filled my body, kind of like being submerged in warm water, and my vision went white. I felt like someone was holding me. It was so comforting. Looking back, I felt like everyone I had ever loved was telling me that I was going to be okay.
Oh my God, my whole body is chilling right now.
I'm warming.
Whew.
I was going to be okay that they loved me and I was in a safe place. Suddenly, I wasn't scared anymore. And all I could think about was how great my life had been and how sad I was to miss out on the future my boyfriend and I had planned out. Then I passed out.
Oh my God.
I was coded as a red blanket. A quick definition from Google. Red blanket is a rapid transfer protocol that fast tracks trauma patients with severe blood loss to the operating theater, giving them the best chance at survival.
Damn.
I ended up undergoing, oh my God.
Wow.
I ended up undergoing emergency open heart surgery. Jen had punctured my heart's right ventricle and severed a major artery coming out of my aorta, causing me to have a cardiac tamponade.
Holy shit.
Kind of like a heart attack. I have to breathe. I'm so sorry.
Severed a major artery coming out of your aorta. The fact that you are alive right now.
The fact that you typed that sentence.
Whew.
She had also punctured my diaphragm and lacerated my liver. I lost 60% of my blood volume.
Damn.
That bled out into my chest, which then was pumped back into my body along with 6 units, 3 liters, or 0.79 gallons of blood. I had a 5% survival rate.
Holy shit.
Which they did not think I would pull through, and it was a miracle that I did. While this was all happening, the police called my parents and told them that I had presented to the hospital with minor defensive wounds. Excuse me, bish. I'm obsessed with you.
You still have your humor.
I love you so much. And that they should go pick me up. It wasn't until they got to the hospital that they found out the severity of my injuries. Can you imagine being like, oh my gosh, like I'm so worried she like got in some kind of fight.
Yeah,
like we have like to go get her.
Thing.
And then you get to the fucking hospital and they're like, yeah, she's an open heart surgery.
She has a 5% chance of survival.
Like whoever made that original phone call should be sued.
Damn.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, they found out the severity of my injuries. My long distance boyfriend was playing video games when he got the call from my eldest brother about what happened and raced down to come see me. All six, yes, six, and all from the same parents of my siblings, went to my parents' house at 12 a.m. to wait for any more information about me. When I came to at 6:30 a.m. the next morning, they all came to the hospital to see me. I apparently got mad at my parents for taking so long to get to the hospital. The first thing my boyfriend said when he saw me was, I was so mad because our last conversation could have been about a fucking fridge. I didn't even get to tell you I love you.
Oh,
I love that. Which I would have been pissed about too.
Yeah.
We all cried together and then I started flipping everyone off and complaining about fake bitches trying to be my friends now that I almost died. I was so high on painkillers.
Fake bitches.
I love that you were just like flipping the bird. Like, fuck these girls.
Just trying to get my almost died clout.
Yes. My survival clout. One of my doctors came to see me and told me that if I didn't have such a large chest, then I probably would have died. So thanks to good genetics, my G cup boobies saved my life.
Wow.
I now call my left boob the golden tip. Okay, I've usually been like annoyed about having a bigger chest, but now I feel a little better about it.
Yeah, and I feel a little scared. So
yeah. As I'm writing this, it's been over a year since the incident. Jen was sent to prison and is awaiting trial on charges of the severest level of grievous. Thank you. Grievous bodily harm. I'm no longer studying psychology as I don't want to face people like this every day.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that.
No. I'm not yet cleared to go back to work by my psychiatrist. I've been diagnosed with PTSD, hyperhidrosis, paranoid delusions, depression, anxiety, and my scars make me look like a patchwork quilt.
Oh,
I bet you are beautiful and your scars are just battle scars
part
that make
you
the bad bitch you are.
Yep.
My hair is falling out. I have nightmares almost every night, and I constantly think that people are trying to kill me now.
Oh, I just want to reach out and hug you.
I know, I do too. But other than that, I'm good.
Jesus.
Thank goodness, girly girl. I'm seeing a doctor, physiotherapist, psychologist, dermatologist, and psychiatrist regularly, and we're all working together to try to put me back on track.
Good for you for making sure you're doing what you're you're getting the help that you require.
And
right now.
I just feel like you're gonna be okay.
You are.
Like just
I
get this energy from you that you're the baddest bitch alive, clearly. And I think you're just gonna be okay.
I mean, look at you, you're writing about it. That's a huge step.
That's a huge step. I have good days and bad days, and other days where I wish I'd just died when she stabbed me. But I don't think I would have made it this far in my recovery if it wasn't for my family and boyfriend.
Aww. Oh, I love
that's
that.
Incredible. They've been so amazing and so supportive. And if it wasn't for Jamie, I would have died that night. She was amazing.
Go, Jamie.
Yeah, shout out to Jamie. My health team have been some of my biggest cheerleaders, which make me forever grateful. I'm not a huge believer in God, but someone was looking out for me that night. Whether it be my nan, grandma, pop, granddad, or uncle who have passed on, someone was holding my hand and pushing me to live that night.
Oh, I keep getting chills.
I do too. You are chillifying this
pod. You're chilling me up.
I just want to say that in no way, shape, or form am I trying to attack people with a serious mental health disease. From working in the health industry, I have a huge respect for people who live with these issues. Yes, what happened to me has completely changed my life. I sometimes feel resentful, but I don't hold any blame towards Jen at all. She's not well, and her mental state is not her fault. These people need help, not to be vilified and put down.
Good for you, man.
The fact that you can say that, and I agree with you, but the fact that you can say that dealing, after all you've been through and while you're actively dealing with this,
big person.
You're going to get through this because that's your attitude.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to read my long-ass story. There's so much more I could tell you about it, but I don't want it to go on forever. I love you two so much, and although I had to take a small break from listening to crime podcast after
can't
what
say
happened.
I blame you.
Why?
You ladies have helped me feel normal again.
Aw.
Thank you. That makes me happy.
Honestly, sometimes I feel like listening to and watching the amount of true crime that I do probably doesn't help my paranoia or recovery, but oh well, c'est la vie.
Well, you know what? You got some spooky in there too.
Yeah, exactly.
That you can revert to the spookies if you need to.
That's why we do it, y'all. Thanks again. And remember, people, be kind to healthcare workers.
Yes.
And to keep it weird, but not so weird that you go back to work just to try. Wait, hold on. I'm going to start it over so it's really good. But not so weird that you go to work just trying to make some cold hard cash, and then you get assaulted by your client and she tries to kill you, which you almost die and have to go under emergency life-saving surgery and go through a freaking long recovery process and then fall into a depressive state, but feel much better now.
Yay.
P.S. I've attached some articles of the incident and pictures of my wounds below. Ooh. Also of my dogs and my partner and I.
Yay.
P.P.S. For all those wondering, I still got my fridge and I did not get in trouble by the police for pushing Jen outside.
That's great. Oh my God, you're beautiful.
You are beautiful.
And look at you. You're in the fucking hospital and look how great you
look.
My
goodness. Look at these wounds.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
You are the baddest biatch. Oh my God. I love your hair color. I know that's not the point of this at all, but here I am.
Isn't this great? A badass. Yeah.
Yeah. I love you.
Oh
I
my
think...
God. And look at you and your boyfriend. I'm
dying.
Oh my
God, wait.
You're beautiful, both of you.
Oh my God.
Holy
look
shit.
At you. And I like that dress. And you guys are such a handsome little couple.
I'm telling you guys.
Oh, the dog.
They're gorgeous.
Oh
they're
my God.
Gorgeous.
I'm not going to say your dog's names, but I love them.
Oh, beautiful. And I know everybody's like, I want to see.
I know.
But just trust us. She's gorgeous. Her boyfriend is gorgeous.
And the dogs
are
gorgeous.
The dog is gorgeous.
Both.
Everything about them are beautiful and wonderful and mystical. And I'm so glad that you're here and that you're doing better.
Y'all shine from the inside out.
You do.
We love you. And consider this a get better from us.
Hell yeah.
We love you.
You're doing great.
You're killing it.
You're doing great, sweetie.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Wow. Okay. So, whew. All right.
Wild.
I know. I'm like, can I breathe? Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally, that's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly
taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid.
This one is called My Uncle Knows the Answer to a 40-Year-Old Cold Case, but not even $1 million reward will make him talk.
I'm sorry, hua?
Damn.
I'm like, are we allowed to read this?
I'm like, can we talk about this? Okay, here we go. Hey, weirdos, my name is Lila. You can use all names. I've changed them all. I come from the wonderful land of Australia.
Ooh, good
More
job.
Specifically, Melbourne. Pronounced Melbourne. Perfect. I love how you like helped me through that. And then we're like, great job.
Good job.
Firstly, I would like to thank you girls for sending me to sleep every night. I apparently can't fall asleep to silence. However, my boyfriend is slightly petrified of me when he hears you girls in the middle of the night in midst of explaining murder and torture, and I'm peacefully snoozing away. I've recommended your podcast to anyone that will listen to me, and I'll continue to do so. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's just the best. Anyway, let's get into the story. Growing up, my Uncle James was the kind of guy that was always on holidays. Just always on holidays. I remember asking my mom at about age 15, Mom, where's Uncle James? You said we don't see him because he's on holidays. Surely he can't still be away. To which my mom replied, Sweetie, Uncle James was never away. He made a meth lab in his basement and is in jail. Just kidding. She didn't say it like that. But it was something along the lines. Anyway, that doesn't add much to the story, but you kind of get the gist of my relationship to him. Although you're probably picturing a real Aussie bogan. Anyway, he is actually quite a poised individual who loves to collect Asian artifacts and nowadays gets scammed / falls in love with ladies over the internet who are more than likely old men.
Oh no, Uncle James. Uncle James. We're going to see him on TLC someday.
Damn. This story has a little bit of background information. It doesn't add that much to the story, but I just like weird coincidences, so I have to include.
I agree.
When my mom was 18, she got in a horrific motorcycle accident. Her work friend asked her if she wanted a lift home on his motorcycle, and my mother, the adventurous being she is, said yes. She was shortly after hit from behind by a drunk driver going 140 KS. I don't know what that is. Converted to miles. I do not either. Probably fast. Quick. She was hit from behind, smashed onto his windscreen. It completely shattered. He then continued to drive for over 200 meters.
Oh my God.
With her on top of the bonnet. When he came to a stop, he then ran over her.
Jesus. That's 86 miles.
Damn.
For Americans.
Holy shit. This was on the 21st of November when she was 18 years old. Keep that in mind. Anyway, after many injuries and many months of the hospital, my mom finally healed. Healed fully. When she got home from the hospital, her mom decided to tell her that while she was in there, her brother had been involved in / witnessed a murder. And not just any murder. His girlfriend's.
Oh my God.
Poor gal can't catch a break.
Seriously.
Her brother James and his two other friends, Freddie and Bailey, were going out on a boat together. My Uncle James decided to invite his girlfriend Sarah along. Sarah was a gorgeous model and 23 years old. Freddie, one of the other people on the boat, was a bit of a wild person and decided to bring two guns to shoot beer cans and just being an annoying boy, apparently. Sarah ended up being shot between the eyes and killed.
Oh my God.
The story has changed since it first happened almost 40 years ago, and no one ended up being fully charged with the murder of Sarah.
What?
It's so weird to think my uncle knows what happened, but for some reason, he's holding this information in.
Yeah, you gotta let that out.
I know he didn't do it, as he was never a suspect, and my guess, like everyone else's, is that it was Freddie. In fact, I think the police know it was him. They just don't have the exact evidence to charge him. Oh my God.
Jesus.
The story they go along with is that Freddie was shooting beer cans, passed the gun to Bailey. Bailey dropped it and it fired right between her eyes.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Yeah, right. Fast forward to 2016, my brother was 18 years old. My mom hadn't thought or heard about the case for over 30 years. And then my brother almost died.
Ooh,
you guessed it. On the 21st of November at age 18, he was hit by a semi-trailer truck, and it's a miracle he survived.
Holy shit.
Many days in a coma, internal bleeding, intensive care, the whole lot.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. A couple of days after the accident, my mom got a call from Uncle James, which was very weird because they hadn't spoken for years. Uncle James called to let my mom know the case about Sarah was reopening.
This shit's like a movie.
How weird. Mom's accident, my brother's accident being on the exact day and same age, and this cold case just reopening 32 years later. The case had reopened and offered $1 million of a reward for any information, calling to any family and friends of the people on the boat or anyone on the boat. It's so weird. My uncle would have to know. But what is stopping him from telling the truth and gaining one milli? And of course, giving her family the justice and answers they deserve.
Right.
I did have a bit of a deep dive and found Sarah's brother's Facebook, and I saw that their mother passed away not long ago.
Oh.
And on one of the last things she said was, find out who did this.
Oh, that is... Oh.
It's so heartbreaking, and I'm angry for them. It's strange because Uncle James was her boyfriend. You'd think, I forgot.
I totally forgot
about that.
Same.
You'd think he would want to lock away anyone who did this. By the way, if you tell me it was probably him, I won't be offended. I have no relation to him, really. Anyway, that's a weird story. One other little side note is that a couple years ago, my boyfriend at the time was telling his mates this story while they were camping. One of his mates was like, wait a second, my uncle was on that boat too. His uncle was Bailey.
What?
The other random guy. Melbourne is not small. In fact, there's over 5 million population. So this was just another weird coincidence. Side note, this has nothing to do with this story, but I told my mom about your listener tales and what I was planning to tell you guys about. And she was like, but what about this story or this one or this one? The woman has a million stories, so I'm going to settle on a quick little one about when she was just a wee little gal. I'll keep it quick. When my mom was growing up, they kept the windows open during the night and the back door.
Fresh air is for dead people.
One night, a man came in, grabbed a cloth off the washing line, and in mom's words, put vinegar on it and put it over her face while she was sleeping.
What?
He then lifted her up and carried her halfway out the front door.
Oh my God.
Luckily, my mom's dad heard the screams and chased this man down the street. Mom was interviewed by police and whatnot, but they never found the attempted kidnapper.
Oh my God.
However, my mom doesn't remember anything. She was at such a vulnerable age that I question whether it wasn't actually vinegar. That's what I wonder.
I think that shit was chloroform.
Instead, it would be something that would knock you out.
Yeah.
I found stories in old news about a girl who would have been my mom's age and in the same area who was taken for 4 days. And found in a car on a street not so far from hers.
Ooh.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading into things.
I don't think so.
Anyway, love you girls and hope you enjoyed my long story. You seriously are a major part of my daily routine. You two and your banter is just like Aussie banter.
Oh my gosh.
And I think you would fit in great here.
What a fucking compliment.
My goodness.
I can't. The only Australian thing I can say is nor.
Nar,
Claire.
The only thing I'm struggling with. Oh, okay. You say it right here. Also, I know the girls aren't the biggest fan of spiders. I don't see them that often. And when I do, I'm completely petrified. I was going to say the only thing I struggle with is the spiders. So
I feel like there's got to be places where it's like less active.
Yeah.
The spiders.
I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
I haven't grown accustomed to them and keep them in my room for pets, like some people may say.
Ew.
LOL. Anyway, see ya. Bye. Hope you enjoyed and keep it weird, but not so weird that this. Just that this.
That this.
Wow.
Holy cannoli.
That was outrageous.
Lila.
And now I just want to know, what does he know? Yeah. Well,
what is he holding in? Why is he holding it in?
That's the thing. Like, can you write us if he ever does say and tell us what happened?
Because I forgot halfway through that story, by the way, that it was his girlfriend.
Same here. And then the thing about the mom, like, find out who did this. Like, no parent should ever have to die wondering what happened to their child.
Yeah, I can't say. I mean, obviously, I can't say what happened on that boat. Nobody was on there except for them.
What would you think, just from what we know?
It's got to be that somebody's protecting someone.
Yeah, somebody's absolutely protecting somebody, because a gun does not drop and fire between somebody's eyes.
But I'm also like, was it an accident?
Maybe it was an accident and they were just like fooling around.
Yeah. Like maybe what happened is she stepped in front by accident or got in the line of fire, and whoever was shooting it, that would be their fault.
Yeah.
But if you say it dropped, no one's hands are on the gun.
Then it is nobody's fault.
So maybe whoever accidentally did it, they're all trying to save that person because it was not intentional.
Even if she had stepped in front of it, though, she would have to be like sidestepping to get shot between the eyes.
Yeah. Or it was shot and she quickly turned.
Yeah.
You know?
To maybe like miss it.
I don't know.
Or it could have ricocheted off of something.
That's a wild one.
Yeah.
I will say that.
That's something. All right.
I'm
so sorry for her family.
Thank you for that. And thank you for telling us that we would be good in Australia. I feel like very high and mighty now.
I do too. I'm going to.
That's a compliment.
I don't even know what I'm going to do with that.
That is a compliment, because we love you guys.
We love you so much. So let's read another listener tale from Australia, since we're Australian now.
Yeah.
This one is called Listener Tale from Australia. Hiked a haunted mountain.
Hell yeah, you did.
It's more mountains than I've ever climbed.
You know what? We're getting away from stabbing and shooting, and we're going to. Haunted.
Could be scary, though.
Could.
Okie dokie. G'day, guys.
G'day.
Was that all right?
No.
Okay. All names can be used. My name is Alexandria, you turd. Or just Alex, whatever floats your boat. By the way, this is like sibling shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she's not being really
mean. No, I'm not actually being mean. I'm just, that's who I am as
a blinking person. A lot, guys.
Blink, 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 blink.
I'm blinking, help, I'm blinking. No, kidding. Thanksgiving's next week.
I'm just being a dick.
I'm going to sabotage your Thanksgiving dinner.
I'll continue to be a porch to you.
So. A porch? I've never even heard that.
Instead of a deck, I'm a porch. I'll say to John sometimes. I'm like, stop being a porch.
That's silly.
Yeah.
You guys are funny.
We're funny.
You guys are funny. so American. Okay. Good night, guys.
That was better.
I know.
I worked
on it.
Yeah.
I wanted to stick it to you.
Okay. All right.
All names can be used. My name is Alexandria. That's a beautiful name. Or just Alex, whatever floats your boat.
My boat.
Yeah. I am writing this in from the Sunshine Coast, Queensland, Australia. My best friend Nicole showed me your podcast a couple months ago. Shout out to Nicole.
Hell yeah, Nicole. I almost said Shacole.
That's the shout out for Nicole.
Shacole.
That's my middle name. Not Shacole. Nicole. And I have been obsessed ever since. Nicole. We both absolutely...
Nope.
Oh, you're British.
Yep.
That's what happens. We both absolutely love your humor. Oh, sorry. I'm interrupting you a lot, but I do have to say that it makes me so angry because the way you guys spell humor, I love. It's H-U-M-O-U-R.
Yeah, when you guys add the use.
The U. But then autocorrect is like, that's wrong. And I'm like, no, you're just uncultured.
It's true.
We both absolutely love your humor and appreciate all the hard work you guys put into this podcast.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Me too. It is amazing, and you guys are amazing.
You're amazing.
You're amazing. Just an FYI, you use the term soggy wet lettuce in one of your podcasts, and it's become a regular saying in our day-to-day life. You know what's funny is an Australian listener
came up
with
that. Yeah, I think they were the ones who came up with it. So, see?
It so accurately describes some people / situations, and it just makes us piss ourselves laughing. I really hope you guys remember saying it.
Oh, we do.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is a long, 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 long.
Whoa.
Story. And I'm sorry.
You don't have to be.
Don't be. This is the story of the time my boyfriend and I hiked a mountain. It was a beautiful sunny Saturday in January of 2021, summer in Australia. And Sam
That's
and
so
I
weird.
What?
When you're January is summer.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I was like, what?
What?
What's so weird about that? And all. You know, the equator. And Sam and I had been dating for just over 6 months. Sam would travel about an hour and spend the weekend at mine almost every weekend, as we didn't live together at the time. Nothing was different about this weekend. He came over on Friday night, and we planned on going on a new adventure on Saturday. My previous boyfriends hated hiking, so I was taking full advantage of Sam loving it, and we would always go on new adventures every weekend.
Adorable.
That's fucking pure as hell, and I love it.
Outdoorsy.
Indoorsy. We woke up Saturday morning, had a cheeky sleep in.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
I love the word cheeky.
Oh,
we've been saying cheeky.
We have been saying cheeky.
And we've been pretty cheeky.
I was
going to
say we've been cheeky.
Had a cheeky sleep in and decided to tackle Mount Erwa. Yeah.
Love it.
In the afternoon, so it wouldn't be so hot. Plus, we had read plenty of reviews and many of them said it wasn't hard and took about roughly an hour, maybe a little more. Sam and I classed ourselves pretty fit. Oh my God, I love it. Sam and I classed ourselves pretty fit and thought we would smash it. So we left for Mount Erwa mid-afternoon and arrived at the mountain at roughly 3:30 p.m. Sunset in January in Australia is about 6 to 6:30. I thought you were going to tell me that it was at 3:30 and I was so confused.
Yep.
But it's not. 6 to 6:30. So we thought that we would have plenty of time to get up and down the mountain safely. The drive there was fine. Beautiful, actually. The surroundings were very green with rolling hills in the distance. Ooh. It was peaceful, although there was no phone reception.
That's dun, peaceful, dun, dun. That's, but terrifying.
That's so peaceful.
Yeah.
I crave that. When we arrived at the mountain, we pulled up on the side of the road and we were the only car there. And the entrance to the mountain was a tiny trail on the left, unmarked, with a road work sign next to it. Sam and I were unsure if this was the start of the mountain trail to begin with. But it had to be, right?
Nah.
Well, it was.
Okay.
That worked out so perfectly. We started walking and the trail was very small and I could instantly tell that it wasn't trafficked often. There was debris everywhere, fallen trees over the track and weeds overgrown everywhere. We were in thick Australian bushland.
Ooh.
That's for sure. I was walking in front and as soon as I entered the track, a wave of uneasiness hit me like a freight train, like a bad, bad, bad gut feeling I couldn't ignore. I shouldn't ignore.
Ooh.
But I did.
Oh, no.
Little did I know, Sam had the exact same feeling, but didn't say anything. I hate when you find that out later and you're like,
damn it.
We could have fucking bonded in that moment.
I should have said it out loud.
We'd been I was combining walking and roughly because my brain does that.
We had been rocking.
We had been walking for roughly 3 minutes when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sound of a vicious, wild, angry dog halted us in our tracks. The dog barked at us for what felt like an eternity, but in reality, it was about 10 seconds. I felt as though the spit from the dog's aggressive bark was spraying into my face. I was shaking like a leaf, and Sam told me to get behind him. Wow, we love.
Sam.
This is so hot right now. And we both picked up the closest logs ready to defend ourselves from this dog when it finally showed itself. But it never did. We never saw the dog. We never even heard the rustling of it running away through the bush. It was like it never existed in the first place.
What?
Just a preface. Sorry, I hit some chips. I'm not about animal cruelty, but if a wild hound is about to maul my boyfriend and I, I'm going to protect my arse.
Oh, hell yeah.
You got to.
When I used to walk Bailey at night and we have like coyotes and shit around us, I used to spend the entire time telling her how I would punch a coyote in the face for her.
Oh, yeah. I've heard you say that before.
Multiple times.
Hell yeah.
I'm like, Bailey, no. Just know that I will punch it. I will fight a coyote.
Yeah.
I will send you running home and I will beat that coyote. And I am not about animal cruelty.
That's love.
But you got to protect yours.
That's absolutely love. Actually, your kids were leaving my house the other night and one of them, almost just like outed that.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was like, is that a coyote? As I was literally hovering with my leg dangling out the door, like buckling them in. And
oh
I was like,
God.
What?
You're
and she's like,
what?
Just kidding. I was like, I almost just like lost
you're like,
it.
God damn.
I thought my, is that your femur?
This is your femur.
Oh,
that's your tibia.
I thought my tibia was a goner. So Sam and I were frozen, logs gripped tightly in our hands, but we continued walking. Looking back, I have absolutely no idea why we went on, but we did. Adrenaline, maybe?
Wow.
Not wanting to seem scared, maybe.
Maybe.
Not wanting to let the other person down, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know, but we kept walking, logs still gripped tightly in our hands. The track stayed just as overgrown as it got worse. And it got worse the deeper that we got into the bushland.
Turn back.
Turn back now.
Before it's too late.
Before it's too late.
Exactly.
what she said. The track bended to the right and started sloping downwards in a deep gully. I love the word gully.
Gully.
It reminds me of Fern Gully.
I was just going to say Fern
Gully. I know you were, and I read your mind, and I said it first.
You did.
We'd only been walking for another 2 minutes when we entered the gully.
Fern Gully.
I almost just said the fern gully was deep.
Fern gully.
The gully was deep. We walked down a steep slope to get into it, and we could see that there was an even steeper slope with a rope.
A slope with a rope, you say?
A slope with a rope. That's dope. To help you get out of it at the other side. It was about the width of a small river, and it was densely covered in trees and ferns.
Pins.
So it was a fern gully. Sam and I walked to the gully, and all of a sudden we were punched with the smell of death.
Oh.
The smell.
Oh, no.
The smell was so strong, I felt like I could taste it.
Oof.
At the back of my throat, and we were swarmed with flies.
Oof.
Uh-oh.
That's yeah, like you gotta get out of there.
That's like how The Butcher and the Wren starts.
Get out of there.
Spoiler alert. I started swatting the flies away from my face, and we both started running up. The other side of the gully, as my first thought was we had stumbled onto the vicious dog's kill.
Ooh.
But we saw no carcass. There was nothing. How could something smell that strong and be that vile, but there be no carcass? How could there be a thick swarm of flies and there be no carcass? How?
It's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
That's a haunted place.
That's a haunted hack.
That's a haunted hack, your own.
Sam and I pulled ourselves up the other side of the gully using the rope. That was dope. For the slope.
Yeah.
I was about to say nope.
But then you just said,
I just said yeah.
I decided to be your hype man instead.
That's go, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that your like internal thing was like, say no.
No, say yes. No.
Say no. No, say yes.
And then I went with yeah.
So we used that rope that was dope for the slope and finally started to feel okay and safe because yeah. Because we heard the sound of children laughing.
Oh no. That doesn't make you feel safe.
I was gonna say TBH, like that doesn't make me feel safe at all.
You're in the bush.
It was all going to be fine. We could run into the children and a family soon. We kept walking, and I decided to yell, "Coo-wee!"
Oh my God, yes.
To the kids. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's a noise you make to attract attention. If you coo-wee, I wonder if I'm doing it right.
Coo-wee!
You are, I think. Awesome.
That's how we do it, at least.
That's how we do it. If you coo-wee to the people nearby, they will coo-wee back. So, you know, you're close. There was no coo-wee back. I did it again and nothing. What kids don't coo-wee back?
I love that she's like, what kind of kids don't coo-wee back?
I mean, I feel the same.
What kind of bullshit is this?
You guys are lame as fuck. No kid I want to run into. I started to realize that the voices were staying the same direction. I started to realize that the voices were staying the same distance away from us. The children's laughter was always to the right of us, following us up the mountain.
Nah.
The laughter was coming from the dense bushland. How can kids be out there?
How though?
Make it make sense.
Yeah, are they just consistently laughing too? I'd be like, what the fuck is so funny?
What are you lolling at?
What are you laughing at?
I'll teach you what to laugh about. The laughter was coming. No, I already read that. I thought to myself, and why would their parents allow them to play up a mountain in the dense bushland?
Well, I wondered that as well.
Maybe they would appear on the track soon with their parents. Maybe they will respond to my cooies, but they never did.
Wow.
I don't
like this. Yeah, it's very Blair Witch. Australian style.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I just saw the scene of the kids and I hate you.
The kids with the hands on the tent.
Whew.
Oh. Yeah, I hate that.
I fucking hate that scene. It haunts me.
That sound. The sounds there.
Even just like the oh.
Yeah, no, the hands.
Little kid hands are gross. Just kidding. I mean, usually they are.
Dead little kids' hands are gross, I would assume.
Oh, fuck. Anyways, it got to the stage, Sam, and I started to blast. Yeah, it got to the stage. Okay, I understand.
You got this.
It got to the stage that Sam and I started to blast music to help drown out the noise of the laughing children following us up the mountain.
Oh, my
God. It might have just been a coincidence, but the first song that happened to come on shuffle was Call the Doctor by J.J. Cale. And the sequence of songs that followed made Sam and I so uncomfortable, we ended up turning the music off altogether. Also, to save our phone batteries, as it was roughly 4:30 by this time. I hate this a lot.
Turn back now.
The track started to get rougher by this time, and I had started walking in front of Sam again. It was beginning to get really hard to identify where the track was, and we relied solely on where we could see other hikers had walked previously. There were many times Sam and I looked at each other and asked, "Is this the right way?" And I know that made both of us nervous. I still don't know why we hadn't turned around. Although I was determined now to make it to the top, and I thought, we have made it this far, we've got to get to the top. You're a determined biatch. This mountain was taking us way, way longer than we thought it would have, and when we reached the first peak, we thought the second peak wouldn't be too far. We would get there, admire the view for a second, and then pace quickly down before dark, but as you can probably guess, that was not the case. We reached the first peak, and we started walking quickly towards the second. I could see in front of me the track pass between two trees in a V-like formation. I walked through the two trees, and my heart skipped a beat. As I passed through the two trees, it sounded as if a squeaky door slowly opened to let me through.
No.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Nay.
No.
Nay, I say. Sam wasn't too far behind me, but he stopped after he passed through those two trees and yelled out to me that he wasn't going any further. Did he hear it too? I thought to myself.
I think he did.
I think so. I kept walking without him because I'm a dumb bitch.
You are not.
No, you're not. The track was so overgrown I could still see Sam, but I didn't know how long I had left until the second peak. Was it 10 meters or another 30-minute walk? Sam started to disappear from my sight and he called out to me. I hate not finishing things, but I needed to pick my battles. The sun was setting quickly, and we still had to venture down the poorly pathed mountain after facing everything that we just went through. Tensions were high. We were both on edge, and we both knew it. Sam had already walked back through the V-shaped trees and was waiting for me on the other side. I was quickly walking, and as I passed through the trees, the sound of a squeaky old door slammed behind me.
What?
Am I hearing things? Nope. Sam heard it too. Are we both hearing things? I guess that's something we'll both never truly know. We started pacing down the mountain quickly, and we could see the sun was getting... We started pacing down the mountain quickly as we could see the sun was setting fast, and we didn't account for the thickness of the tree canopy taking away the sunlight quicker than we'd anticipated. We were both stressed, and I was getting ahead of Sam. He yelled at me to slow down. He didn't want to lose sight of me. As I stopped and waited for him, I noticed something. Something I did not see on the way up. A riverbank looking gully to the right of us with a huge fallen down tree within it. I knew that would have been something I would have noticed on the way up. I looked around as Sam caught up to me. This isn't the path, I said.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
This is literally the Blair Witch.
I hate this.
We'd not been paying attention, and in the hurry and panic of trying to get down the mountain, we had drifted off course.
No.
We were not on the path.
Get on the path.
Get on that path. Sam asked me if I was sure. I had never been more positive. My gut sank. The sun was setting quickly behind the thick tree canopy. It would be very dark soon. Very soon. Our phones were about to die, and we had no water or food. Sam suggested following the gully, but no, we couldn't. We had to try and find the path. We had no other option. This mountain was not like others we had climbed. We knew no one else was up here. It was secluded, it was dense, and it was about to be pitch black.
Oh, damn.
I'm, like, so stressed out.
I don't like this.
I actually hate it, and that's exactly why I wear a sweatshirt that says Endorsey.
That is
this,
true.
This tail right here. We had no reception since driving to the mountain, but I tried. I pulled up the app All Trails on my phone as I walked to the left, when all of the sudden, ping, one bar of 3G.
Oh.
Thank fuck.
Thank fuck indeed.
Fuck, thank you. We got ourselves back on track, walking faster than we were before. The sun was setting so quickly now, it was nearly dark beneath the tree canopy. We knew that we were on the home stretch. We were nearly to the car when all of a sudden, a sound stopped us right in our very tracks. It was the most eerie sound that to this day gives my gives shivers down my spinal
what
cord.
Oh,
you scared the shit out of me. My back is like slightly turned to Alina, so I had no idea that was coming. You ass. You arse.
I got it out.
It gives them shivers down their spinal cord and a horrible feeling in their tummy.
Oh, no.
It was almost an indescribable sound, but it sounded like a man in pain or a man who had just lost a child. Like a howl or a groan, kind of both, of pain and suffering. It's so hard to describe.
I can hear it.
I can too. Ooh, I got scared.
Oh, I don't like it.
And it was haunting. It's a sound that will stick with Sam and I forever. You guys have to get married now, by the way.
You like, have to.
It's just the rules. I don't make them.
This bonded you for life.
Yeah, you're trauma bonded. We started walking as fast as we could. I wanted to run, but I couldn't leave Sam behind. He couldn't run. But goddamn, I wanted to run as fast as I've ever ran in my life. And I know that he wanted to as well. Oh. We were nearly at the car. It was so close. We arrived at the steep slope leading to the gully. Sam went first, using the rope to lower himself. I followed closely behind him. When we got into the gully, we raced through it, and we knew that we had a short jog to the car from there. We made it to the car, exiting the trail just as it got dark, when we realized there were no sounds of laughing children, no smell of death or swarming flies, no visions dog on the way down. Just the horrific sound of a howling man. I swear I kissed my car when we reached it. When we got inside of the car, I locked the doors. What the fuck just happened to us? Did that really just happen? As we were about to leave, a car with two blokes in it pulled up. Sam and I got our car. Have you guys climbed this mountain before? We asked. Yeah, all the time. How good is it? They replied.
What the fuck?
And that's the end of the tale.
That's the end of the tale?
What?
Shut up.
Wait, is that... That's it.
That's the end of the tale. What a way to end.
How good is it?
Oh, damn. You need to write... That needs to be...
That's like a short story.
That needs to be like a movie on Netflix.
How good is it?
Like, I'll watch that.
I would absolutely... I'll help you write
let's
it.
Let's go.
Even. I don't even
let's
know how to do that.
Go.
LFG.
Holy shit.
I'm the scaredest that I've ever been in my entire life.
Oh my goodness.
Hate, 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 loathe entirely.
Woo!
I'm so terrified. In 2015, HBO's The Jinx unraveled one of the most notorious unsolved crimes in New York's history, exposing long-buried information discovered during the filmmaker's decades-long investigation of Robert Durst, scion of New York's billionaire real estate family. Now, The Jinx is back for part two, where the filmmakers continued investigating for 8 years, uncovering hidden material, Durst prison calls, and interviews with people who had never come forward. If you're looking for more about The Jinx, you can also check out The Jinx podcast. Hosted by director Andrew Jarecki and EP Zach Stewart Pontier, the podcast will begin with an episode-by-episode look-back of part one, featuring never-before-heard audio between Durst and Jarecki, along with insights from the series' creators. Then the podcast will cover The Jinx part two as the series releases on Max. Watch the HBO original documentary series The Jinx Part 2, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Jinx podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Guys, I am obsessed with Astapro, and you should be too, because seasonal allergies are a freaking bummer. They make me feel like crud, they make me sneeze, they make my boogies all yucca, and it's just really kind of gross. But Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter OTC allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Have you tried Astapro, Elena? Because I'm obsessed.
I have, and it's so fast!
It's so fast! Astapro, it's faster, bro. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. It's faster, bro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
All right, let's try to end on a funny one. Let's try to do that.
Because I am stressed.
I am stressed. All right, so let's end on a New Zealand listener tale.
All right.
Chickens, parks, and not a dead body.
Oh, okay. That's always good.
So we love to hear it.
Not.
All right, let's see.
Look at this baby's little curls.
Oh, my goodness.
Shut up. I'm like dying for my future children to have curly hair. It's just like a thing I've been thinking about lately.
Oh, I love that. And we love a curly haired babe.
I mean, I don't have curly hair and neither does Drew. So,
so the odds are pretty low, but
maybe our donor will.
There you go. All right. It says, you guys, first off, thank you so much for taking the guilt out of guilty pleasure when it comes to true crime and spooky tales. It's so nice to have a space where it's cool to be a weirdo.
Yeah.
Thank you for being there. I found you guys about 6 months ago and you immediately became the longest lasting ADHD fixation I've had so far.
Oh, we were just talking about ADHD fixations.
There you go. My ADHD dopamine craving, hyperfixating ass cannot function on a day-to-day basis. We're talking brushing teeth, getting dressed, finding the dog leads, walking to the door, to the car, without something interesting and stimulating enough to get me going.
I feel that.
Since I discovered you guys, I've basically lived my life with one headphone in at all times, to the point that my fiancé and I just wanted to drop fiancé in there so I could say that we are engaged.
Yay!
Had some friends over for dinner, and they asked what we had been up to, and our six-month-old interjected saying, oh, Isla is just... I love that name. Oh, Isla is just listening, crime, bad people, scary things, criminal justice, not for kitties. I can't wait until he's old enough for us to listen to you guys together, and you can be part of his collection of strong female role models. Oh, my God. What a badass... Oh, I love you. Anyway... This is less of a true crime story, more of a palate cleanser. That's a great way to end this.
Perfect.
So far, I've been lucky enough to scrape through life without any gnarly tales like the wild and ones you guys sent. I'm studying criminal justice, though, so maybe I'll have something a bit more salacious to send in the future. Mm-hmm. This one includes our bratty-ass rescue chicken in a public park. It's a bit anticlimactic. Well, I don't know why I got an accent there, but it's a bit of a laugh. A soul came out. Anywho, I've attached an appropriately sized space pitifa, spelling, detailing the time I thought our son found a dead body while taking our chicken on an outing to the park.
Oh my God,
Hashtag
stop it.
Only in New Zealand. P.S. I'll actually be using the indigenous name for New Zealand because fuck colonization.
Hell yeah.
So thought I'd pop the pronunciation in here for you. Thank you.
Otaiaroa.
Otaiaroa. I hope I said that right.
Or Otaiaroa.
Otaiaroa?
Otaia.
I was going to say Taya.
Okay,
Otaiaroa. Thank you so much for that. I've also attached photos of our dogs and chicken for extra cleansing of the palate, which you are welcome to share if you want.
Ooh, we got permission. And your chicken. And I didn't know that there was such thing as a rescue chicken.
I didn't know that either.
But I want one.
So it says, alrighty then. Hello, spooky pals. My name is Isla, and you're welcome to use all and any names involved here.
We're gonna.
I feel like it's necessary to give you some context on why the actual fuck we were taking our chicken to the park.
Fair.
Thank you. So I'll quickly tell you a bit about Penny. Yes, short for the incredibly original name, Henny Penny.
Stop
the bratty
it.
Chicken.
Icons.
So this is Penny. I've included a few photos so you can really gauge the audacity of this bitch who thinks she's a third dog. I do apologize for the shoddy camera qual. The cost of living in Otaiaroa is actually daylight robbery, and I cannot afford a phone with a swanky camera. That sucks.
That does suck. That's pretty relatable to America.
Just under a year ago, we got a knock on the door from our neighbor. We live down a long driveway that leads to four different houses, so we have a good little community going on. He wanted to let us know that he had just seen a stray chicken wandering around his garden and that he couldn't find it now, but we should just keep an eye out for it in case it needed help. Fast forward to the next morning, I went to open our garage and had a strange sense that there was something more than just piles of old junk that I always go to throw away, but then end up keeping because I'll definitely need that someday.
Oh, false. That's an ADHD thing.
There you go. Side note, I'm always convinced I'm going to find a murderer hiding out in there, which is not based on any rational logic, but my criminal justice studying ass is always prepared for the worst, I guess. Anyway, I opened the garage and waited for a second, obviously for the murderer to jump out and attack me, and suddenly heard a very stern insert chicken noise. I was waiting for Ash to do it. There we go.
I got you.
And out strutted a very offended, raggedy, scrawny chicken. My dog Mercury, love that name,
same,
who obviously came with me to protect me from the murderer, looked at me very confused. I looked at Mercury, very confused. We both looked at the chicken, very confused. And the chicken did a massive shit and paraded through the gate and into our front lawn and never left.
This chicken is Hey Hey.
This Hey Hey.
From Moana.
I love that. She's become a fundamental part of the family ever since. I love that.
Oh my God, I love.
Our six-year-old Orlando. Oh my God, I love it. We call him Landy.
Stop.
Spends hours in the garden finding worms with her. She often comes up on the desk and proofreads my uni work by standing on the keyboard and force quitting my document before I save it.
Use Google Docs and auto saves.
And she keeps our two 40 kilogram, there it is.
Yeah.
Our 40 kilogram dogs in line and lets them know who's boss by forcing them to give up their beds for her.
Oh my God. She's a straight up queen.
A queen. So how is this a listener tale? Yeah, good question. Well, we all get a lot of joy out of watching Penny scratch around and do her excited, happy little clucks when she finds a particularly pleasing bug. She gives us so much happiness and eggs, and we wanted to give her a little treat. We have a playground down the road from us that is next to a bushy area of with grass that Landy thought Penny would love to explore and scratch. So, in a very Aotearoa fashion, we loaded ourselves and Penny into the car and took her down to the park for a wee outing. That's really adorable of you.
I love that a lot.
I've never seen a chicken so genuinely excited. And just as she really gotten struck into a good patch of dirt, Landy, who had been sneaking around in the long grass, came running up to us looking particularly frazzled and mumbling something like, oh no, it's bad.
Oh.
We thought he was worried that Penny was going to run away because he wasn't making much sense. So we just assured him that it was all totally fine and we were keeping a close eye on her. She somehow knows to come when we call her name, which I think she just learned from copying our dogs. He continued to shuffle around, looking incredibly anxious and not saying anything, just clinging on to us. I'm stressed out.
I am too.
One of us said something like, "It's all good, Landy." And he blurted, "It's not all good. It's all bad. There's a man asleep in the long grass over there." And I stood on him.
Oh, Landy, you unpacked Landy. A lot there.
We had to recently moved into a suburb that was itself reasonably safe, but was surrounded by a lot less safe parts of town. My partner and I looked at each other like, there's a motherfucking dead body over there, and we're now going to have to pay thousands of dollars in therapy to help Landy process the trauma that this is going to cause.
Oh my God.
That's a real parent moment right there.
Yeah.
Trying to keep it cool, calm, and collected, I told him that I'm sure it's fine and I'll just go check it out and see if it needs any help or not. My 24-year-old self was in fact not cool, calm, and collected as I tried to remember all the things I'd learned from my years of listening to true crime podcasts to prepare myself for this very moment. I walked slowly over to where Landy had said he stepped on the man, and sure enough, I saw the limp form of a man, half curled up in the fetal position, half splayed out in the long grass.
Oh no, where does this become a palate cleanser?
I got that feeling that when all the warmth suddenly drops out of your body and tingles start to ripple out from your stomach all over your body.
That's anxiety.
We could only see him when you got about a meter away because the grass was so long. From that distance, there was a very distinct smell.
Oh.
Now, I've never smelt a dead body, so immediately I'm like, decomp, definitely a dead body. And I try not to faint because remember, I'm the cool, calm, collected adult in this scenario. I walk very coolly, calmly, and collectedly back to my partner, Landy and Penny, while trying to figure out how I'm going to explain to the 111 operators, it's 111, not 911 here, how my six-year-old stumbled across a dead body while we were out walking our fucking chicken. My partner and I decided it would be best if her and Landy dropped Penny home while I called 111, so we didn't have to look like actual crazy chicken ladies, because that's truly a new level of crazy cat lady.
Oh my God.
So I apologize if you hear the mowing behind us.
Oh,
so I'm left alone in the park with a maybe dead body on the phone to the police saying that my son stood on this man in the grass and I really can't be sure if he's alive or not and that he's really stanky.
Oh.
The ambulance arrives before the police, and as I'm leading them to the guy, the medic looks around. We're kind of in a bush, like most places in Aotearoa, and says in the most Kiwi way, huh, kind of makes you want to go camping, doesn't it? I'm not going to try because I don't want to mess it up. Which I just thought was the most hilariously Aotearoa thing to say at that moment. But maybe just because I needed to laugh to break the tension. Anyway, anticlimax. The guy had had too much to drink and had laid down for a bit of shut-eye. He was not impressed to be woken and surrounded by medics and police. And I felt terrible for being the cause of such a rude awakening. To be fair, he had drunken so much that his breathing was almost undetectable, and the ambulance at first thought he was dead too.
All right.
Turns out he was just super dirty, which is why he smelled so bad. I feel so bad for the guy who clearly already had it rough and was now being shaken awake by medics and police because of a paranoid 24-year-old dingbat.
Dingbat is one of my favorite things.
I think maybe I should just stick to studying criminal justice for a bit longer instead of going around thinking there's a true crime story around every corner. So yeah, that's the story of how our 6-year-old did not find a dead body while we were at the park with our chicken. Thanks for listening. I hope your palate feels cleansed. And I've attached some photos of our dogs. Mercury is the speckled one. Mighty is the black one. In case you've just listened to a harrowing story before this one and need extra cleansing. Keep it weird, pals, but not so weird that you listen to too many true crime podcasts and become obsessed with your chicken and take her to the park with your 6-year-old and he steps on a man in the grass and you instantly think obviously it's a dead body, but instead you end up giving a poor man the worst wake up of his life.
Don't keep it that weird.
Wow.
Or do, because, well, don't, because you don't want to, like, you know.
That was hilarious.
Oh, and I love your name.
I love your name. And that was a really, really funny tale. Your kid is, I was going to say, delicious. That was weird. I was adorable.
You know.
And your dogs are adorable. And your chicken is spicy as fuck.
Spicy.
So.
Spicy.
Spicy chicken.
Hey, hey.
So, guys, that was our ode to Australia and New Zealand. Thank you so much for sending those in. You guys rock.
Never change.
Keep sending them from all over the world. We love to hear them and we'll read them. And we got a million more of these, so we'll get to like everybody.
So with that being said, we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it
weird. But not so weird that you messed up the ending and you joined me because it threw me off.
I don't know, man.
But you can keep it that weird because that was a unison vibe.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Goodbye.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey, Morbid, this is Weirdos.
Since Elena betrayed me and didn't go through with our brilliant plan for opening episode 544, The Career Girl Murders Part 1, we thought that we'd get it right with this go-round, as we tell you about one of our favorite deep dives that you might have missed within our feed.
In August 1963, Patricia Tolles returned home from work to find her apartment demolished. Shaken, she contacted one of her roommate's fathers, who stumbled across a truly grisly murder scene.
The media created a narrative that would, to their benefit, sell newspapers.
Every headline set out to make single women feel afraid and deter them from pursuing personal independence, instead of focusing on how people are depraved and that we should stop assholes from being assholes. You can find this episode by following Morbid and scrolling back a little bit to episode 544, The Career Girl Murders Part 1, or by searching Morbid Career Girls wherever you listen to podcasts.